been hearing a lot about cybersecurity and changes that may be coming to FISMA. And one of the people behind that is Senator Tom Carper of Delaware. And Senator Carper is my guest to talk about these issues. Senator, hope you're enjoying your recess. Thanks for taking some time to be on the program with me today.
We had a different kind of town hall meeting last night. We did it by telephone, believe it or not. We've never tried this sort of thing before. We ended up with I've done town hall meetings as a congressman, as governor, and as not so many as a U.S. senator, but I have maybe we've had maybe 200, maybe 300 people. It's the tops. Largest audience we've ever had. We had several thousand people on a call last night for a telephone town hall meeting. People from all over our state. They ask dozens of questions. I hope we had a pretty good discussion. I learned something, and the other folks did too. But it's the idea of sort of using technology, and not and actually pretty sophisticated technology to let a lot of people participate in a statewide discussion in the comfort of their own home with using their own telephone.
And the use of technology, of course, is behind some of the changes that may be coming to FISMA. First, before we get into what may be happening, talk about the bill that you've introduced and where it stands and what we might expect to see when you come back to Washington.
Well, it's, as you suggested, Francis, there's a lot of interest in cybersecurity. We know that as we speak, there are folks trying to hack into our systems, some classified, some unclassified. They're not just kids trying to hack in. They're not just criminal organizations. In some cases, they're sovereign nations. They're trying to steal people's identity, financial information to be able to make money, trying to steal secrets. In terms of weapon systems development, they're trying to get information relating to maybe a utility system or lighting system or electricity system, like a distribution system. I don't think good intent at mind. So there's huge challenge that we face, and it's what we need is all hands on deck with this one. I introduced legislation earlier this year to try to make sure that we just didn't do what I call a check the box approach to cybersecurity, addressing cybersecurity, but to make sure that we don't just spend a lot of money collecting data, but we actually go after the problem, and that what, as it turns out, our friends on the Homeland Security Government Affairs Committee, Senators Lieberman and Collins, ranking Democrat and Republican, and John McCain, who's the senior Republican on the subcommittee that I chair, are all interested in developing a committee bill, a bipartisan sort of a consensus bill that will build on where we start out with our legislation. And I think the idea is to use this August recess to find common ground amongst ourselves, the four principals, and then to reach out to our colleagues when we come back in September, introduce the legislation, ask a number of them to join us in introducing it, and then to proceed this fall with marking up of the legislation. And I'm happy to talk about what I think we'll focus on, if you like.
Yeah, I'm interested to know what tools you think the agencies need to shore up their cybersecurity efforts that they don't have already.
Sure. Yeah. The bill that I expect us to introduce will call for agencies not to check the box, not to go through a process or a paperwork exercise, but to focus their collective resources on actually monitoring, on detecting and preventing cyber attacks. I realize that agencies can't do everything themselves, but I think our legislation will call for an enhanced role for the Department of Homeland Security to help coordinate and to lead the efforts of agencies to secure, better secure our sensitive networks. The Department of Homeland Security is not going to step in and try to do the job of the Department of Defense or the CIA, but for the rest of the federal government, Homeland Security is the obvious entity should work. Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security ought to work with law enforcement, with intelligence, with our military agencies, if we ever hope to secure our government networks. And bad guys are coming at us with more sophisticated attacks, as you know, all the time, and we've got to be able to match them.
I've got to take a quick break, Senator. I appreciate you spending time with me. And when we come back from the break, I'd like to ask you how the recent turnover in some of the top names in cybersecurity in the government might impact efforts. We'll do that when we come back with Senator Tom Carper of Delaware on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The following is a public announcement. The Australian government has authorized the New York Mint to release to the public a limited number of 24-carat solid gold Australian gold koala coins at a price of $98 each. Due to listener response, you are asked to please dial carefully. If lines are busy, please call back. In times of war and economic turmoil, gold is prized, but the U.S. melted down millions of U.S. gold coins and relatively few remain. Now through an agreement with the Perth Mint, the 24-karat solid gold Australian gold koala is being released to the American public on a first-come, first-served basis at a price of $98 each, limit 5 per caller. Again, this is a public announcement. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of 24-karat solid gold Australian gold koala coins, limit 5 per caller. Listeners may begin calling the New York Mint now at 1-800-600-1753. That's 1-800-600-1753. 1-800-600-1753.
If you work on the Hill or in the administration, come to the National Mall on September 13th to cheer on your favorite competitor or team for the nation's triathlon congressional challenge sponsored by Roll Call. Federal employees, including members of Congress and the Hill, will compete in an Olympic distance triathlon, a 1.5K swim in the Potomac, 40K bike course, and 10K run along Washington's Monumental Corridor. Watch Washington's top federal employees test their mettle against our top city employee, Mayor Adrian Fenty. Log on to nationstry.com for more information.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We are talking about cybersecurity with Senator Tom Carper of Delaware. And Senator, I have to say I'm already looking forward to coming to your state next month for the fall race weekend at Dover International Speedway. And if the spring race was any indication, my son will be stimulating the economy quite a bit when we come over there.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm glad you're coming. A lot of people come. It's a great Dover's great a great place, and folks have a lot of fun.
We always enjoy the races there. Tell me about your thoughts about the recent resignations of Melissa Hathaway and Michelle Kwan and the effect that might have on trying to pin down a cyber czar who can take the job that President Obama wants to have somebody do to oversee this effort.
Cybersecurity, as you know, is a complex. It's a constantly evolving challenge. It affects our economies. It affects our national security. It affects us as individuals. And we need talented people at the helm to make sure that their agencies and the private sector is actually making the right decisions for protecting our sensitive networks. Both Ms. Hathaway and Ms. Kwan, I think, helped in a substantial way to move the ball forward, and we're grateful to them for their service on really an interim basis. And I personally look forward to working with the administration to help them to find people who can continue where Ms. Hathaway, Ms. Kwan left off.
What attributes do you think that person should have? We've seen a number of names bandied about, some of them heavier in the political side of the portfolio, some of them heavier in the IT side of the portfolio, some folks with a balance. What are your thoughts about where that person might come from?
Mm-hmm. I think among the most important qualities, we need somebody who's got a clear vision of where a nation needs to go in this regard, someone who can establish effective relationships with the private sector as well as within the government. Private sector owns, I'm told, about 85% of the critical infrastructure. And I think it's maybe not often considered, but in this position as well, you need to have the trust and support of the president. When the president hears that this particular person, the cyber czar, czarina, has said X, Y, or Z, that the president says, well, that's something we probably ought to do then. And I think if we're ever going to get a grip on this challenge, and we need to, whoever's going to end up with this in this responsibility now or in the future needs to be given the right tools to get the job done.
And one of the concerns that some folks that have rumored to be candidates for that job have expressed privately, at least, is the fact that the way that the White House report structured that job, they might not necessarily have that access to the president that is necessary to do the job efficiently. Is it possible that that is playing into the situation that we have now, where it seems to be taking a little longer than anticipated to identify somebody to do that job?
Yeah. I sometimes fall back on, I'm a recovering governor, as you may know. And as governor, there's a tension. On the one hand, you want to have your fingers into a lot of pies and close to the action. Having said that, you can only do so much. You can only have so many direct reports. One of the questions in picking somebody and setting up the structure in the White House and administration for the cyber czar or cyber czarina Is this somebody that ought to be a direct report to the president? Is this somebody that ought to report maybe through the Secretary of Homeland Security? And I think I'm not sure what advice to give them. It's just important that this person have the right vision, be able to coordinate a lot of challenging relationships both within the government and outside of the government, particularly with the private sector, somebody who has the trust and respect to the president, and even if they're not reporting to the president, someone who, when this person speaks, the president will say, that's somebody I give a lot of sway to what they have to say, and I'd be inclined to go with them.
I want to go back to the FISMA legislation, if I can, for a moment. You outlined your vision for how you would like to see, or how you expect to see, that legislation proceed when y'all come back from the recess. Are you concerned? You mentioned the healthcare town hall you did by phone, and are you concerned that the hubbub over healthcare might block out some of the other priorities like this FISMA legislation?
Well, we can walk and chew gum, and you might not believe it right now because we've been really fixated on healthcare. We're going to be doing healthcare legislation this fall, probably in the full Senate and the House. We'll be doing climate change legislation, clean energy job legislation in the full House and Senate and in conference. There'll be some downtime. There'll be the need to actually find other items to fill the schedules with. And I think to the extent the matters that come to the floor, the legislation that comes to the floor, Francis, with broad bipartisan support, reported out of committee with strong bipartisan support on issues that really command our attention, I think those are the pieces that will be attended to. And that's why it's important for Senator Lieberman, Senator Collins, Democrat and Republican, Senator McCain, myself, Republican and Democrat, gather together our committee, put together a consensus bill, and the leader of the Senate is always looking for legislation that they can bring up and discuss, and there's not going to be a lot of contention. We don't need to spend a week or 2 weeks on the bill, and it's important for us to submit and report out that kind of consensus legislation.
And you are confident that all four, obviously you've run the numbers, and bringing the four of you together is not going to be an issue?
No, I believe we'll be there. Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins provide great leadership on these issues and others as well.
I obviously, because of where I work, I pay a lot of attention to that committee and the subcommittees under it, including yours, and I continue to be struck by the almost unique operation of that committee in that Senator Lieberman does not seem to lord his committee chairmanship over Senator Collins, and neither did she when the roles were reversed.
Yeah, it's a great partnership. And actually, you know, we were mourning the death of Senator Kennedy today, and he's has been for a number of years the senior Democrat on the we call it the HELP Committee, Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee. And he and Mike Enzi from Wyoming have taken turns in recent years in chairing or being a ranking minority member of the HELP HELP Committee. They have, even though one of the more liberal members of the Senate, Mike Enzi, one of the more conservative members of the Senate, they work remarkably well together. A lot of bipartisan legislation, very productive committee. I once asked Mike Enzi, I said, how do you and Ted do this? What's the secret? He said, Ted and I agree on about 80% of the stuff, maybe 20% of the stuff we don't agree on. And what we've decided to do is just focus on the 80% we agree on, set the other 20% aside, and we'll worry about that some other day. And let's just work on the things that we agree on. And that worked very well for them. And we have a similar kind of situation, I think, on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, and just a very good interpersonal relationship between Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins.
Senator, I appreciate your time today. I just have one final question for you, if I might. I was in your state last month and saw people really struggling to make choices, and I wonder if you might weigh in on some advice for people who are in your state and trying to decide and really not sure which direction to go. When you're at Rehoboth Beach and you're faced with the choice of Thrashers or Gus's on the boardwalk, which way do you go, sir?
When I'm on the boardwalk, I tell you what I love. I love fudge. I love walnut fudge, and wherever I can find a good price on that, that's one of the things I always try to get to. My boys always like ice cream, so where there's plenty of whatever you like there, you can find something for just about any palate. My wife, we were in Rehoboth about a month ago. She hadn't spent a lot of time in Rehoboth. We usually would vacation in a little place in Bethany Beach with our boys, but she hadn't been in Rehoboth much for the last couple of years, and we spent a weekend there about a month ago, and she couldn't get over how beautiful Rehoboth is. She said it reminded her of Saint Tropez, and it really is beautiful. It's a gem.